So good morning, everybody. Welcome. This is Turning Towards Life from Third Space. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here live again. Another week, we're back. I'm so pleased to be here doing this. It's Sunday morning here in London. Spring is kind of here, and we're circling back round for another week of our conversation. And I want to say to you, Lizzie, how really thrilled I am always to be doing this, to be in the rhythm of a weekly practice where we get to be in this conversation with one another and where we get to be illuminated by sources that we each bring. So I know I'm just going to say this for the benefit of anyone who may be joining us, maybe for the first time. You're also welcome here, whether you're with us live, which you can do on Facebook, also in the Clubhouse app, whether you're listening to us or watching us later, which you can do on our website, which is turningtowards.life, or on all the major podcast places and on YouTube. We're so welcome, so glad to have you with us here, and you're so welcome. And we're going to do very shortly what we do every week, which is to take a source, a piece of writing that inspires, stretches, challenges, deepens us, and then we're going to talk about it in the way that we have not prepared. We'll see what happens. And Lizzie, thank you so much for bringing what you've brought this week.
Well, I want to say thank you to my ever inspiring sister for knowing all of these different sources and throwing things my way when and we inquire into them together. And this is one of those ones. So she said to me, oh my gosh, Lizzie, Thomas Berry is talking what you're talking with Justin and integral development work, and he's also including nature and the earth and cosmos. And so we got into a conversation about talking through what it means to integrate, but on a kind of really big level. And this was a piece of his writing that we came across that feels a big invitation to us. And you know, you were just saying, Justin, all these pieces that we bring are challenging and pushing us to think and all those things. And what I try and do anyway, lots of the time, is bring things that really confuse me, that I really don't understand, and that really seem to be pushing the boundary of what I'm capable of being in. And so I'm as ever trusting this space is one where we're really genuinely learning together, and that this is what this practice is all about, is the genuine kind of trusting in the unfolding that can happen between us when we're dedicated to really, really seeing and really feeling and really opening into new territory for ourselves and our understanding and feeling of the world. So this is from one of Thomas Berry's books, I think, The Dream of the Earth. And it goes like this. Here we might observe that the basic mood of the future might well be one of confidence in the continuing revelation that takes place in and through the earth. If the dynamics of the universe from the beginning shaped the course of the heavens, lighted the sun, and formed the earth, if this same dynamism brought forth the continents and seas and atmosphere, if it awakened life in the primordial cell and then brought into being the unnumbered variety of living beings, and finally brought us into being and guided us safely through the turbulent centuries, there is reason to believe that this same guiding process is precisely what has awakened us in our present understanding of ourselves and our relation to this stupendous process. Sensitized to such guidance from the very structure and functioning of the universe, we can have confidence in the future that awaits the human venture.
Thanks, Lizzie. So I'm going to read it too, as we always do. And for anyone, any of you who are with us, if you ever want to follow along with the texts, we always post them in our Facebook group, and you can find them later if you're listening on the turningtowards.life website as well. Here we might observe that the basic mood of the future might well be one of confidence in the continuing revelation that takes place in and through the earth. if the dynamics of the universe from the beginning shaped the course of the heavens, lighted the sun, and formed the earth, if this same dynamism brought forth the continents and seas and atmosphere, if it awakened life in the primordial cell and then brought into being the unnumbered variety of living beings and finally brought us into being, and finally brought us into being and guided us safely through the turbulent centuries, there is reason to believe that this same guiding process is precisely what has awakened in us our present understanding of ourselves and our relation to this stupendous process. Sensitized to such guidance from the very structure and functioning of the universe, we can have confidence in the future that awaits the human venture.
Thanks, Justin. You know, it's really reminding me, Justin, often when we're doing our year-long program, we do this thing where we take a second to acknowledge what has to have happened for us to be sitting where we're sitting, doing what we're doing, being with who we're being with. And this passage really reminds me of that practice, of that opening into a much, much bigger story of being here in terms of what had to happen in order for this to be true right now, just, you know, just for you and me sitting here right now, all of the things that had to come together in order for this to be possible, for this to be true, for this to be happening, for this to be manifest in this moment. And whenever we do that, I find myself recontacting a sense of faith and a kind of counterbalance to the disastrousness that I often feel. And reading this piece from Thomas Barry's work does the same thing. It connects me to something much, much bigger. And suddenly I can find myself taking a really deep breath and growing. I can find my space growing, like coming, we've spoken before about the kind of the popcorn kernel of a being that I can feel sometimes of my smallness and my frightenedness. And then this is like the opposite of that. Like in one way, this could be like a definition of love or something. Something so stupendous, as he says, something so extraordinary that we're asleep to most of the day. You know, that we're not in a continual, perpetual, miraculous kind of being hit by the stupendousness of our lives and the world and the universe and the fact that we're even here in the first place. So to be invited back into that and to cultivate a relationship to that outlook, that way of relating to this experience of being a human being, feels like it breathes life into everything for me and reconnects and rebreathes, and then things can be put down, all my little small agendas and all my frightened little paths of thinking that wonder whether this is all going to be okay or not, and you know, all the worries that I have suddenly get right-sized and I feel kind of shot into this other perspective, which I find deeply supportive and life-giving and freeing in terms of the decisions that I can make or the ways that I can think about my life or how I perceive people when I look upon them, what's possible in a relationship, all of those things.
Yeah, it's really beautiful hearing you talk about it, Lizzie, and I'm letting myself settle into your words and Thomas Barry's words at the same time, and feeling the commonality of experience. Of course, I can't know that my experience is exactly the same as yours. We only have words to mediate between us here, but that sense of being very small and vulnerable and alone and everything's happening to me and I'm not powerful enough to do anything about anything in the great scale of things, like feeling very tiny and puny in the vastness of things, is a very easy, familiar place for me to be. And I often wake up that way, actually. It sort of seems to be the default entering into the world in the morning state. And this that you're talking about, this sense that we can feel into, that, as Thomas Berry says, that the dynamics of the universe from the beginning brought whatever, whoever we are now and whatever we're in the middle of, it got brought about by a chain of occurrences, possibilities, beings that handed on again and again and again and again and again and again. So instead of, when I feel into that, instead of feeling very small in a, and puny in a vastness, what I get to feel is part of the vastness, or an expression of the vastness. So it doesn't change the scale. My body is still small compared to the unimaginably huge universe, or even the very, very large Earth. And yet, by not being separate from it anymore, by being brought forth by it, mm-hmm. I'm a participant in it rather than somehow an accident in the middle of things, or somehow, maybe even better to say it this way, somehow a stranger in the middle of things. I think that's the thing that's mm-hmm. most difficult, is feeling like a stranger in the universe, instead of not only have... So this image came to me whilst you were speaking about, well, one way even of looking at Thomas Berry's description is somehow the universe did it all of its mechanics and out popped I and you, of course. And now somehow I've popped out of it and I'm separate from it. Instead of, actually, the next step is that he's inviting us into, is to see that I'm also, and you and all of us are also part of the unfolding next, whatever it is that happens. So we didn't get popped out of, we didn't get made by all of these eons of everything that came before and then sort of thrown out of it. We are born of the extraordinarily unlikeliness of everything. Mm. And we are part of the ongoing unfolding of the extraordinarily unlikeliness of everything. And like you said, I just want to echo something that you said, that there's a sort of, I know that when I do that, it right-sizes me. So it reminds me that I have a part to play, but it also reminds me that my part to play is not really about what I want. What I want has a part in it, but it's not about getting existence to be exactly the shape that I want, which is a root of such incredible suffering, because it's never going to be exactly the way that I want it, and I don't have that much power. But I do have the power of participation. Mm-hmm. I do have the power of paying attention to who I'm with and what's going on inside and what's unfolding in the world. And the thing that you're speaking then got me to, which I hadn't seen in Thomas Berry that I'm seeing now, as he says, if this process brought us here, here we are, it's an unarguable truth that we're here, then there's reason to believe that that process is exactly what awakens in us our ability to understand ourselves and our relationship to existence in the way that we do. In other words, we see, however, of course, there's so much that we can't see and that we can't comprehend, but our capacity to be witness to see existence is born of our having been brought forth by the process of existence itself. So we are, one way, beautiful way I heard this once said, is that we're life looking out at life. Mm. And that seems to me to dissolve so much of the desperate clinging that I can get into, that I have to have life work out a particular way. And because I can't, I either have to try really, really hard to cling on, or I have to give up and just go, I'm powerless, I have no place here. Neither of which seem like a life-giving way to live, and neither of which seem like appropriate taking care of my part in it either. But they're really, really compelling, because they free me from so much of the difficulty of being in the middle of the unknown.
Mm. Gosh, Justin, that thing you said about, if this has brought us here, like that we're not separate from that process. And I was having this kind of imagery coming, you know, I think it's in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, when there's a kind of this machine that the chocolate gets made in, and then it gets kind of thrown out, and then the chocolate then is other to the machine that made it. And that's kind of one way you could see life, is you get kind of popped out and then you're separate to the thing that made you or something. And what you just said really kind of landed in me about the fact that we are the process itself. Like, we're not that, you know, we are an extension of the process. We are part of it, rather than being produced by something and then plonked on the earth and then being forsaken. We're just part of it. And then it makes me wonder as to the kind of the bamboozlement of having a body, and how inaccurate, in a way, like, the body is an undeniable, physical, excellent collection of matter that does most extraordinary things, which clearly has to be a part of it all because of how extraordinary it is. And it has this physical boundary of, like, I can feel the edges of my skin and I know what my hands can do in this moment and what they can't do. And yet when you were speaking, I was feeling this something arising in me of remembering all the ways over the years that the edges of me have always been thrown into question. You know, even just the small things, like saying something at the same time as someone, or the kind of coincidences that happen, or the kind of synchronousness of random things that then create some kind of meaning, or you think, oh, okay, well, that's why I met that person, because this happened. But we all get glimpses of that. And I'm feeling also connected to this process I was in once about experimenting with how wide my heart could be, like how many people it could include. And it turned out it was never ending, that I could include and I could include and I could include and I could include, and it didn't stop. And that was kind of part of the redefinition of what my boundaries are in terms of what I can be connected to. So, you know, I can be connected physically in this space-time right here through my physical skin, which has deep, pleasurable, excellent, satisfying quality to it. But I can also connect beyond my body as well. And so I can hold people in my heart. I can pray. I can extend myself into different places in the world. And people can die and I still feel their presence, and they matter in exactly the same way as they ever mattered before, even though the physical body's not here. And so when you were saying that we are part of it, my actual experience, my lived experience, makes sense in that context. It's not some kind of out there experience to feel connected to something that's not right here, but that it's because we are of the nature that we are, that Thomas Berry is talking about, that we barely understand the extent of our connectedness, our intrinsic part ofness, that is so deeply opposite to the separation that we often feel. That there's this serious, extraordinary capacity to be connected and to reach into different places with different parts of us. And that it feels like a responsibility in this moment to me to be in that experiment more, of extending myself in the way that life extends itself. Quite entirely unjudgmentally, if I look at how plants grow and find their way to wherever they want to find their way to. It's like we have powers, we have capacity to connect that's much further beyond what we're taught broadly as human beings.
Yeah, I'm really with you on I'm so moved by what you're saying, this last point about what we're taught. So I think many of us have grown up in one of the background features of our culture that we can't even see because we're swimming in it all the time is the separateness of everything.
Yeah.
It's like a taken for granted something. You're you over there and your body ends there and I'm here over here and my body ends here. And that is true. So the separateness of things is not, it's not like it's in an accurate narrative. If you get injured, I don't get injured because you got injured. Mm-hmm. I might feel, well, of course I would feel all kinds of things, but so the separateness is true, but it's not complete enough and understanding. And that's what Thomas Berry and the way you're speaking is doing such a wonderful job of certainly helping me with, Lizzie, is while it's true that my body ends where it ends, and whilst it's true that what I experience, my own inner first person experience, is mine alone, and you can't know it directly, only I can know it directly, but that's true. But it's also true that at the same time that we're both and everyone and everything is an expression of a vast unfolding process in which we're not separate. In fact, in which the language of being connected to one another is even the wrong language, because to be connected means separate me is connected to you, instead of we're all being expressed by, we're all being brought forth by the same thing. So there would be some, and language is always going to run into trouble, I think, at this point, which is why feeling it is often so helpful. But you and I and everyone and everything are one something. We're all expressions of a unity here that Thomas Berry is talking about. And when we, I think it takes remembering, like this thing we do on our program of spending some time tracing back, remembering everybody who came before, that it took my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents and my great-great-grandparents and all the way back in an unbroken chain where everybody survived and every being survived long enough to reproduce, all the way back to the first life that reproduced was called for in order for me to be here. It takes that kind of undoing our habitual thinking. But I also think it takes when we can, is a sort of inner emptying or letting go of our certainty that I am the thing that I take myself to be all the time.
Yeah.
And I've really found that one of the practices that's been so helpful for me has been, as you know, Lizzie's been swimming in wild places and also walking, that when I'm out of the ordinary familiar surrounds of all of my stuff and even the people who keep on reminding me who I am, and I release myself into being with trees or with big dark bodies of water or something, I can catch a glimpse of, oh, I am part of the same, I'm going to quote Thomas Berry here, I'm part of the same stupendous process that is bringing them forth, is bringing me forth. And here's the line that's really catching me now at this point in our conversation for Thomas Berry. He says, sensitized to the guidance from the, if we can be sensitized, if we can allow ourselves to feel the very structure and functioning of the universe, if we can be sensitive to the process, then we can have some confidence in the future. In other words, but what I, when I read that, I can't and don't read it as it means I can have confidence that the future is going to go the way I want it, or I'm going to get what I want, because that gets me back into the same, I'm separate, alienated from the universe, it's my job just to get everything I want. Instead, it seems to me that we can trust a much, much deeper trust in the unfolding process of everything, of which we're an indivisible part, starts to come into view. And I actually think that really matters, because I know that when I am sensitized that way, I'm kinder and bolder and fiercer and more generous and more creative and able to bring myself, rather than keeping on withholding because it feels unsafe to take the risk to do anything. In a way, it's the risk to me of being generous with myself and my gifts is no longer a risk, because in the way, way, way wider frame, us bringing ourselves is part of the unfolding process.
Yeah, that's really beautiful what you're saying. And I feel really invited also by, you know, you were saying, you know, you can't know exactly what's going on inside of me. That's true. And there's this bigger something as well. It also strikes me that it's not that hard to join together in trying to understand each other's inner worlds. And it might not be perfect, but it's really not that hard for it to be good enough that your inner world feels like someone's in there with you. And for me, that's another expression of this universal process we're speaking about, which is, for me, all of the kind of, I want to say great teachings, but they are great, but they're also deeply ordinary, are the ones that illuminate that my story is so, so much like everyone else's story. You know, so all the things that go on inside of me when I bring them to other people as part of my inner world that I think nobody could possibly understand. And then someone goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you go, oh, so I'm not so kind of unique and, you know, so difficult to understand, and there's no way that you could understand my reality or something. It's like the fact that it's not difficult when we know what to do and when we can feel and sense and understand and listen openly in the way that we're doing now. It's not beyond us to really feel into and to know well enough another human being's world that we can exist in there with them, and they can exist in here with us, and we can do that in all kinds of different directions, which is an expression of this as well. Like that's what we're built for. We're built for connecting not only to each other's kind of physicality, but connecting into each other's inner world and sharing experiences and listening to one another and undoing the separateness just on a one-to-one basis by being in these kinds of conversations. And then in that moment, we feel so much more aligned with the actual unfolding process that in keeping ourselves separate, we're denying, but in joining together, we kind of go, oh yes, that's what's really happening, is that we're actually like way more connected than we thought, because we only need to do a few things for that connection to feel real and genuine inside the relationship that we're in. And I'm so grateful for that, you know, that there are things that can be done, that in our moments of utter horrific darkness that we've all experienced, where we feel like that kernel of a human being and all the smallness and fear that we've been speaking about, but of course that's part of things, and there's a way that doesn't have to be where it ends, you know, it doesn't have to be the end of the story, that we can connect to these huge things like Thomas Berry is speaking about, and then all the things in between, down to just a conversation between you and I that is open and impressionable and soft and listening, and I'm allowing you to affect me. You said something the other day, Justin, you said being allowing ourselves to be impacted by others is the basis of all intimacy. And that feels so connected on a, you know, very on the human level to this huge big cosmotic, I don't know what the word is, cosmotic feeling that Thomas Berry is inviting us into.
Cosmotic is such a great word.
Is there a word for like cosmosness?
Probably. I don't know what it is. You know, I'm relearning something very big in our conversation, particularly from what you just said, Lizzie, which is in a way, a large part of our sense of being separate from one another is what we get taught.
Mm.
I know, of course, there are ways that our bodies tell us this, because my body's not your body, and there's steps we have to take in order to meet one another and all of that. But I'm remembering that years ago, when I was beginning heading out on the life of dedicating myself to coaching and supporting people in their development in various ways, I was teaching a program on listening, and somebody designed all the steps in this program on listening were designed with the very common assumption that we have that we're separate from one another, and basically listening is very hard. And so it taught people things like, well, sit in front of one another and look one another in the eye and nod and repeat back to the person what they'd said. And it struck me, I couldn't teach this, because it struck me in that moment that listening is actually really not difficult. We know when we're listening. It's a profoundly ground level, basic human capacity. Whether you can hear physically with your ears or not, that's not what I mean. To be attentive and open and receptive to another person is, I think, our foundational quality. It's what we're made for. And so a much better question when we're learning to listen or pay attention to one another is to keep on asking the question, am I paying attention? Am I listening now? What's in the way of it? What am I doing that's getting in the way of this already existing capacity? Not sort of trying to do something.
Yeah.
And I think that's because of what you said, is that because in the way that Thomas Berry points out that we're really expressions of this giant unfolding something, we're not that far apart from one another.
No.
We're not that different from one another. And so many of our troubles in life come because we learn that I'm separate from you, and I'm better than you, or I should be frightened of you. Or we try to exert, just to feed back to our conversations of the last few weeks, we exert power over one another in unhealthy ways, which separates. So the act of separating is an act. The pre-existing condition is one of intimacy and availability and openness and shared resonance. I'm struggling to find exactly the right word. And then I think we teach ourselves out of that. We teach ourselves our separate. We teach ourselves separateness. We teach ourselves to dominate one another, and to not to listen to one another, and to be afraid of one another because you're from a different place, or your skin is a different color, or you speak a different language, or you're whatever.
Yeah.
So your words and Thomas Berry's words are a reminder to me that the coming into contact with one another is more an undoing than it is a striving. Because we are brought forth by the same process that brought forth continents and the seas and the atmosphere and the primordial cells and the unnumbered variety of living beings and brought us into being. It's the same thing. We are all born of it, of the same something.
My goodness. Well, I haven't stopped being in this need for taking a deep breath in the whole conversation. It feels really significant and beautiful and important. And it just reminds me, Justin, of the times that we listen back to ourselves in the moments of God knows what in our lives, where we're feeling horrific or we're worried about something or whatever, and pick up an episode of Turning Towards Life, and this might be one that I pick from when it's all feeling like I'm so small and powerless, you know. So I'm just really grateful for us entering into the realm of this conversation together and having this as another piece of this cave that we're excavating that becomes habitable. You know, I think with every conversation we're finding different pieces of the territory and letting it be something that we can return to. And so I'm really grateful, and thank you for entering into it as your full-hearted self, as you always do. It's really delightful for me. And we're going to be back again next week on Sunday at 9 o'clock. And Justin, you'll be bringing something excellent for us next week, I'm sure. And in the meanwhile, we wish you a wonderful week, and thank you for being with us. It's such a gift that you're here, and a gift that we're able to do this, and that really we're doing it together. And we know we're doing it together now, because we had our live event a few weeks ago, Justin, so we know that the real humans came and that we were all in conversation together, and we're going to do more of that. And thank you for
being so fully hearted with us, everybody, in listening and allowing your own selves to stretch into the conversation with us, because we know that's happening too. And we will see you next week.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.